This is Jesus speaking. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now this doesn't affect the gay, but it certainly affects me. And Jesus is saying something that is condemning to me, because this is my temptation, to look at a woman lustfully. But I can be helped by Jesus. He can help me so that, and he has, so that I can overcome this. These thoughts come into my mind, but I don't have to let them be there and develop. I have a feeling, I have a compassion for the gay people, because they have more troubles in their lives than most people do. But Jesus can heal. Jesus can help them.
Can I interrupt you to say that I am going to ask you to abide by the guidelines that I said? You have to say what you think and feel about it.
This is what I think and feel, that right. Jesus can heal.
Okay.
I feel that Jesus can help.
Okay.
And I will say that I am going to a place next week, Lois and I, where this can happen at the Lutheran Bible Institute in Issaquah.
Fine.
That is my...
Thank you. Thank you very much. Someone else. Oh, excuse me, way up there. Howdy.
I'm having some problem understanding. What exactly do you mean by healing? Does that mean, I shouldn't use the word denying, but does that mean saying, no, I'm not a homosexual anymore? Or does that mean learning to deal with it and feeling free in the gospel and not feeling guilty about it? I just need some clarification about your term, how you define healing.
By healing, I mean that a homosexual will not be a homosexual anymore.
Brittany, did you? Okay. Someone else? Yes.
Just to respond to that, in terms of what Tosh was saying about a tendency to make it a big institutional or social or psychological issue rather than a personal or individual issue. My experience with gay and lesbian people has been that kind of transformation from homosexuality to heterosexuality doesn't happen. And when in a few instances where it seems to have happened that I've been aware of, it's been not a very healthy thing at all, where homosexuality has been replaced by sort of a strained, forced kind of heterosexuality that doesn't seem very real. So I would question the need for any kind of healing to begin with. If someone is homosexuality, that seems to me just as legitimate as if someone is heterosexual. And I think that's, in my experience, with gay and lesbian people, that's borne out that it can be a very healthy thing and a very God-pleasing and God-given thing.
Somebody else?
I guess sort of in response to that, I can recall reading a few years back a book of accounts of gay people's lives in which it would seem that from what they said, the healing took place when they accepted that homosexuals were what they were. That seemed to be when those people felt healing and wholeness, when they stopped pretending that they were something that they weren't.
And again, I guess I'm asking for your response to that. You're quoting somebody else. How do you feel about that? Is that a perspective that you have?
It was a revelation to me at the time. And I guess I haven't talked to enough people to see if that's borne out in reality.
Okay.
I certainly felt accepting of it.
Okay. Thank you.
I I know enough homosexuals that I feel very accepting of them as people. I don't understand the orientation. But I accept them as people, and I love them as people. And to me, that's all I need to do.
Okay. Thank you.
My feelings as coming from a fundamentalist background, I used the Bible to deny my own sexuality for a long time. And being in a society where sex is something dirty, you know, and not a giving from God, is very hard as Christians to deal with our own sexuality or my own sexuality. So I couldn't deal with homosexuals and lesbians until I deal with my own sexuality in terms of what I am. And I still feel a little bit threatened by when somebody say I'm gay or I'm lesbian, because it's not sometimes people that are in contact every day.
An ad hoc committee and the General Justice Resolution talked about justice for people who have alternative lifestyles and orientations. And we said this was correct. We feel this was a very important issue and it ought to be decided, discussed at the Synod Convention. And it was sent back to us, are you sure you want to do this? Because that phrase, lifestyle / orientation, might mean gays and lesbians, and please call us up and see if you really want to put this on the floor of the Senate. And of course, I had read all the other justice resolutions, and one of them is a justice in the New Lutheran Church for homosexual people. And so I quoted back and I said, of course, it does mean that this is about gays and lesbians. And it is very important this year, and it should be discussed on the Senate floor. It's my understanding that neither ALC or LCA did discuss the General Justice Resolution on gay and lesbians. Is that correct? I was at LCA convention, but I wasn't at ALC.
I was not at all of the ALC convention. Maybe Deborah or Dell, if they're here, could tell you. I left before the big onslaught of resolutions at the end got discussed.
However, in the Pacific Southwest Synod, every one of those resolutions, including the resolution supporting justice for gay and lesbian people, were discussed on Synod floor and passed. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I didn't ask you. I assume from the tone of your voice that that was something that you favored. I didn't ask you about your own expression about that, but I thought you communicated that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Someone else. Yes.
Well, I've always felt that from the Word of God, especially in Deuteronomy, I think it's the 23rd chapter, I'm not exactly sure what mm-hmm. chapter it is, that way of life was not God's plan mm-hmm. for man. And so I think in the same way that is God's plan for man, that we in turn love the person involved and do not treat them as less than people. But that if it's not God's plan, then we should help them to find God's way. As we see, as maybe as they see it, as we see it.
Thank you.
Question for Tosh.
Sure.
You said when gay men come out, you meant come out of the closet?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
Right. Yes.
I'd just like to pass along some resolutions that were passed at the Lutheran Student Movement National Assembly. There's been several resolutions on homosexuality.
Do you
not agree with all of them?
Okay, so you're giving us your opinion. Okay.
And the latest one was investigating and trying to learn more about it so that campus ministers and people in LSM can educate people about it and try to get rid of some homophobia and things like that. And we also passed one on affirming ordination of Lutheran pastors regardless of sexual orientation. And also I work for campus ministry, and in some of the And from some of the things that are sitting down from the national office, they have little things they'd like us to do. And one of the things they suggest is to have folks sitting around about homosexuality, so if homosexual students come in, they won't feel uncomfortable about talking about it. Just try to bring it out into the open.
And you're saying that you think that's a good approach. Okay. Anybody else? Tim, please.
Speaking of bringing it out into the open, I wonder if we can, I have some strong feelings about bringing it out into the open in the form of worship, which is part of how this got started in this particular community, this discussion. I think when homosexuality is ignored in worship, then a general assumption can be made in most places, Holden included, that this, the status quo, the general culture, is being accepted by the community, by that worshiping community. And so I think it's very important that homosexuality be dealt with openly in worship, and that gay and lesbian people feel affirmed explicitly in worship. And I think that's important for us to do at Holden.
The people who are knitting have to be careful when you go up like this. I think you're asking. Oh, please.
I have another question for Tim. When you speak of, incorporating the gay and lesbian members of the congregation so they feel more included, I think along the parallel lines of, say, inclusive language. How, just for my own, so I can understand more what you're saying, what changes, briefly, what changes or substitutions would you make in, say, the order of service, or are you talking inclusive language, or are you talking about different, do you understand what I'm asking?
Yeah. Okay.
Could you just give me some examples? Yes, that's how.
I can speak in terms of examples and possibilities, I guess. One very obvious one is to include then in prayers, we're talking about huge groups of oppressed people all the time in prayers, throwing them around. I almost said we may as well throw that around too. Kind of a crude way of putting it. When we're talking about hungry people in the world, if we're talking about people who are oppressed by racism, people who are oppressed by sexism, I think we can also pray for people who are oppressed by homophobia. One other possibility that jumps to mind is in terms of imagery. And that's something that Tosh did in his Vespers last week. We use all kinds of images for God. We use the imagery of a parent loving a child quite often. There are instances where we use the imagery of a husband loving a wife, the God and his bride, the church. Why not also use the imagery of God loving someone of the same gender? And I think that can be helpful to homosexual and heterosexual people alike, in both in understanding God and in including those people in our community.
And he did say that that's what he felt. Okay. Just reminding you that his sentences were carefully spoken. Oh, please, yes.
Well, I believe that God created man for woman, or woman for man, and I can't see where God created a man for a man or a woman for a woman. And I think the Bible clearly states that.
Okay. Wanted to share something out of the Bible with you. It's the only thing that I've ran across that deals explicitly with homosexuality. I don't have a real big knowledge of the Bible, so it might be something to figure out.
Let's make it clear why you're quoting that.
This was discussed one night, one Wednesday night, at a meeting at Lutheran Campus Ministry.
Okay, that's where it came from, but I'm wondering why you are quoting it here.
So
in other words, this isn't a teaching session. If you're teaching, that's one thing. If you've got a point of view that you think that communicates, that's another
okay,
thing.
I
that would fit the. Okay, what is that point of view? I think it would be better to say it up front. Otherwise, it's going to be misunderstood, and that's why I'm concerned. That understood as teaching, and I just assume we avoid that tonight. Then we're going to be spending the rest of the evening doing that. So why don't you state what you think it does, and then quote. Do you mind?
Okay.
I think that would be fair.
Okay. Well, I think that a lot of people jump to conclusions about what this says. And if you look at it a little closer, you might not jump to that conclusion.
Okay. Can I ask you just to let it be at that, rather than otherwise we're going to have to examine that passage and along the line. Let me break from our discussion for a moment to say that, and I meant to say at the beginning and I forgot, that we will be glad to have a specific Bible study discussion on biblical references about homosexuality in another session, because I think that takes a good deal of time, and I think it's a very legitimate thing to do. So when I ask that you do that, I'm not trying to dodge quoting Scripture, but I'd rather do it in a context where then we can do some studying of Scripture rather than raise some up and then have to just back away from it again. Do you understand? Is that fair? I think can I repeat what I think you're saying? There are some Bible passages that seem to deal with homosexuality, and you think that we're too eager to interpret them in that way, and there may be alternate, or go ahead.
Well, no, it does deal explicitly
okay.
with homosexuality.
Okay, and
but
then
I don't think it's condemning homosexuality
okay.
the way you might.
Okay,
it,
so that it may not be condemning homosexuality as people would assume in reading it, some people would assume in reading it.
Right.
Okay, I'd like to ask you to do it that way. I think it would be fair. I may be wrong, but I think so. Okay.
Well, maybe we're doing this all backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should start with God's Word. Mm-hmm. That should be the basis of our whole thinking. And I think we're coming out with our ideas, then we go to God's Word and try to fit our thinking in with God's Word. I think we're doing this backwards.
You said it the right way. You said you think that. Now, that's a legitimate part of the discussion. I appreciate that. Yes.
Part of the reason why I felt it would be a good approach to approach homosexuality as a personal response. That is to say, I think we respond to homosexuality regardless of our grounding in Scripture. I also think we respond, you know, as you said, rather, I need to start that sentence over.
Okay.
if I understood you correctly, you said you felt it was backwards for us to be talking about homosexuality without starting in Scripture. Is that? Did I understand you correctly?
Yes.
I feel that that is precisely what we do with the issue of homosexuality. That we start with the issue, we have a real strong tendency to form our beliefs and our views of gay men and lesbians, and then we do go to Scripture afterwards and find what we want to find.
Thank you.
I believe that the issue of homosexuality of people at large has been badly misunderstood for many, many years, and many people are confused about the whole issue, and sometimes innocently.
Thank you. Real.
When I was at...
Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't see who you were at the moment. Go ahead.
When I was at convention, the young people had written a song about the way it feels to be an outcast. And when I heard that, I really associated with it, and I especially associated with it because one of my newest friends has expressed to me her experience of being a lesbian woman who feels that she may not be accepted into ordination for, and this is what she believes she's called to do. And I felt the pain that she's experienced in terms of being treated as an outcast. And when you said that this session was going to be about what about the people, I felt that would be a good thing for me to hear some of these people who are here think about the people, because I've experienced the pain and the danger in their lives coming out and being gay and lesbian and being treated as an outcast and being a target for physical and emotional abuse. And I suffer a sadness when I realize what they have to go through sometimes.
Thank you. Yes.
Please. I'll start out saying I believe homosexuality is wrong based on the Bible, and that it is not what God planned for man. And but it is sin, in my opinion. But I'd also say that we're commanded to love the sinner and hate the sin. We have to be accepting of gay people and homosexuals, even if we don't accept what they are, what they are doing, or their attitudes. We have to accept them as people. However, I think that, I don't think that they should be ordained as ministers. I think that because of their homosexuality, for me anyway, I don't think I could go to a minister who is gay and really believe what they are saying or having a real faith in that minister because of the sin in their life.
Because of what you said, you believe is a sin.
Because I believe.
Yeah, okay.
The sin in their life.
Okay, thank you. Was there more?
No.
Okay.
Can I answer on my
feet? He hasn't spoken yet. Can you ask him?
I know several ministers myself, and basically they aren't perfect. Every one of them is a sinner. Sorry. So I myself would have no problem going to a minister who is gay. It might be a sin, but no one is perfect.
No one else then with Sergio?
Well, it would be sent to my answer. So.
Okay. Did you want to say something more?
Yeah, just to answer that. I don't know, I guess I would put homosexuality in a different place than other sins. I think that's, I don't know how to explain it. Just for me, I cannot accept that. I can accept that maybe a minister is imperfect, but I would expect a minister to believe in God's word and to try to follow that as much as possible. Now, if that minister found in God's word that maybe homosexuality was right for them, well, I don't know how to answer that. I still wouldn't agree with it. And I personally could not go and trust that minister and
okay.
Follow that.
Good. Thank you. Someone else? Oops, excuse me, please.
Well, I really feel we just need more information. We have lived through many, 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 many years thinking that this is wrong. But from my recent understanding, it is not a choice. And to me, a sin would be a choice. And that's how I started to feel, but I don't know. So I need more information.
Thank you. Yes, please.
I'd like to second that. All my life I have shunned homosexuality because I have an instinct against it. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going home and meet up. And it's my opinion that I don't know whether it's a fault. I think maybe it is that I tend to categorize people and try to, well, everything, business, people, whatever. And it seemed, in my experience, being with people that I think are maybe are homosexual, I've had good relations with people who I think I might be homosexual, but I'm not sure. Almost invariably, they've been creative, they've been artistic, agreeable. I've done along fine with them. this day and age, I think it's a terrible thing that two young fellows going to college, or I'm thinking specifically of women, two young teachers were living together, both male, when I was going in high school. And today, they couldn't do that. I don't think they could do that without being classed as homosexuals. But so then the other category I've had nothing but trouble with, and that is what I think militant homosexuals. Now the key word there would be militant. Darn it, there was another key word that I forgot that applies to any militancy makes me uncomfortable. And now opinions. Can I tell you the worst experience I had with homosexuals, in my opinion?
Well, it's your part. Do you want to share your life? That's all right.
I wanted to take my 81-year-old mother to a Christmas concert, and we went to, we saw a device on the, in the paper where the Seattle Men's Male Chorus was having a concert at Meeting Hall in the University of Washington campus. So we picked up Mom and went up there, and the place was packed, and it turned out anyway that it was the homosexual, the gay, it was gay chorus. Well, great, gee, same, like, great. What? And I was ready to get out of there, but wanting understanding and so forth, and okay, so we'll stay a little longer. Well, then he announced that they were going to have Christmas on a little bit lighter tone. So they sang a couple songs by Petey Kumbach, and you know, a little bit raunchy, but not too bad. And then I almost cried when I think about it. Chorus line of Transvestites came out, and Mother North Star, somebody on roller skates, and by the time that was not all that bad, and here was one of the Transvestites depicting itself as the Mother Mary and tossing a doll around, you know. I tell you, I was so enraged. I wanted to get down to the balcony. We're in the balcony, and just kill him. I killed him. But if they had not been homosexuals, if they'd been, I don't know what, a bunch of tramps or whatever, and if they were making fun of somebody in my faith, well, so it was my opinion that it's the militant homosexuals that enrage people and turn people against themselves. And, but that's just my theory.
Thank you. Somebody else? Yes.
Well, I think for myself, it's very easy to have a lot of stereotypes, and well, before I met and got to know any homosexual, once I found out that my second cousin was a homosexual, and other close friends, people that I'd known for years and had good relationships with, that's when my stereotypes had to break down, because I couldn't stereotype them as the militant homosexual or the one I grew up with in especially like junior high and high school, when you're so uncertain of your own sexuality at that point anyway, and then you talk about if you wear this color on this day, you are gay, you are homosexual.
Okay, thank you. Yes, please.
I'm not sure what militant is, and I don't know why that's so bad. But I guess the other thing is that it makes me very uncomfortable when you say that you felt like killing someone because they're making fun of your faith.
Yeah. It's my opinion that this is something instinctual. Like you see a snake. I don't know about whether there's any snake lovers here, but I'm not one. I'm not afraid of them, but I don't like them. I'm not on the strong of my head.
Because it's evil incarnate? I'm not sure what you're saying.
I didn't hear.
Just a second. Would you repeat? He didn't hear your last statement.
He said because it's evil incarnate?
I don't know. It's something instinctual in me.
I don't think killing is instinctual.
I do.
Okay. Yeah.
I just have to voice right away a very strong emotional reaction to comparing gay people to snakes that need their heads stomped on. I know that wasn't intended, but that's what I heard. I know it wasn't intended, but I just had to say that.
Okay.
I'd like to respond to Jack and
and say that if you felt that was a violation of your instincts, what they did, I wonder if you can see as I do that a lot of what we've done in our militancy against homosexuals is a violation of one of the most basic human instincts, their sexuality.
I'd like to add something to what Jack said too, that as a gay man, the gay men and lesbians that I know, that I meet, that I read about, that I talk to, lead me to affirm what I have read, that gay and lesbian people are just as diverse as straight people. Which is one of the reasons why I think it is so difficult for gay and lesbian people to get together and do anything really strong in terms of legal or social change, because we come from all different backgrounds, we are of all colors, we are of all shapes and sizes, we have as many different perspectives on the world, on religion, on ourselves, as straight people do. And I feel it's important for me sometimes when I see or read about something that I think is distasteful or sacrilegious, to remember that because they are gay men or lesbians doesn't mean that they are all like me.
In my opinion, I couldn't agree with you more.
That's really what he's saying.
Yeah. No, I pretty well summed it up.
And, can I add one more thing?
Okay.
My conclusion, which I neglected to say, which doesn't change anything, is that it's very easy for us to pick out something about gay and lesbian people and latch onto it and make that something that we apply to all gay and lesbian people. In the same way that it has been easy for us to pick out a characteristic or two characteristics of women, or people of color, or people of different faiths, and to use that as a way of relating to people of all types who fit into that category. That's
okay. Thank you. Yes.
I was just going to ask Tosh. Was becoming a gay a your choice, or what?
First of all, I don't believe that anyone chooses their sexuality, whether they are gay or not. Secondly, the only choice that I had, and the only choice that the gay people that I know have had in dealing with their sexuality as gay and lesbian people, is whether or not to accept it and to deal with it in positive, creative ways, or whether to deny it and spend the rest of their life trying to cover it up and trying to get away from it.
Do you believe there's deliverance from it?
I don't believe that it's an illness.
Yes.
I just wanted to ask this question, Tosh. I heard you use the word straight people several times. The term just kind of caught me kind of strange, because it seems to me that it's terms like that that further separate us. And I was wondering if you could respond to that.
It is true that when we put a label on a group of people, we separate ourselves from them. It is also true that, I feel that it's true, that at this point in our culture and in our history, that we have made these distinctions. and that we refer to them as groups of people, whether we like it or not. I also feel that it is necessary for any oppressed people to choose the labels they use for themselves. For example, using the terms gay man and lesbian, or gay men and lesbians, or homosexual people, especially gay men and lesbians, those are terms that we have chosen, and those are terms that we use which are affirming to us. Referring to non-gay and non-lesbian people as straight is also a label that we have chosen, which is affirming, which is non-denying of other people's sexuality, as well as being affirming to us. It is also an attempt to not define people for what they aren't. For example, if I were to refer to people as gay and lesbian or non-gay and non-lesbian, that would be a very different thing in my mind and in the minds of people that share my understanding. I think that's all I have to say.
If I heard him correctly, I thought he was asking why you would call, you wouldn't be able to say gay men and lesbians and heterosexual people rather than straight. Is that?
Yeah, specifically about the term, the word straight. I guess when I hear that word, I think of maybe word association. I think of the opposite, and I think of something that's not straight. And then I begin to make associations with things that are not right and things that are not. And I'm just curious about the term straight people. It seems to separate us. If we're going to come together, then maybe our language could help us.
I'd like to respond in two ways. One is, I don't know the background of the usage of the word straight in describing non-gay and non-lesbian people. I would like to respond to what I hear you saying about our culture by responding with a historical and cultural theory, which I find very interesting, that until homosexuality, the word homosexuality was coined in the late 19th century in the English language, there was no way to distinguish between people of homosexual orientation and people of heterosexual orientation. And I agree with you that I would like to get back to that point where it really doesn't matter.
Thank you. Someone else? Yes, please.
Tosh, do you know what the origin of the term gay is? When that began and became a common usage?
There are a lot of different ideas. The most convincing that I've read is that gay comes from the provincial French from the 13th century, gay or gaol, which was used to refer to someone's, to a lifestyle specifically epitomized in the court of Louis XIV, where there was a lot of homosexual activity. That's the most convincing one I've heard so far.
Someone else? Yeah.
This is kind of a personal question for Tosh. When Jack spoke earlier of militarists, or used the term radical.
Militant.
Studying, in my opinion, this is a question.
Well, maybe he said militant. I was just
militant.
Giving
okay,
him a word.
Sorry.
Okay.
In like, if you look at Black American history, you know, the two approaches, the radical approach of you know, specific black leaders, and then say Booker T. Washington, who wanted to slowly infiltrate into the community. From your personal experience and from your point of view, do you see a need for marches and walks and things like that? Is that your, I guess, personal style, or would your style be to, you know, slowly educate and just show people, hey, I'm just the same as you?
I'd like to give Tasha certainly the right to answer that, but I think it would be fair to say that you ought to express your opinion too. Then you would really be participating in a way about that. And then I think then it's fair to, if Tasha wants to respond. See, then it gets to what I feel.
Okay. Let's see, what do I feel?
Or maybe you don't have a feeling about it, then let us know.
I have feeling too.
Oh, sure. I was counting on that.
I had quite a few friends who I came back after my freshman year of college, and they had, quote unquote, come out of the closet. That was a very, very much a learning time for me. My world got a lot bigger that day. And it was, in my opinion, I just very much agree with what Sarah said. As soon as it became personal to me, I was not threatened by it anymore. And so I've not known Tosh that long, but we have the same high school, sure, and the same college. I have respect for his opinion. And just because I am a heterosexual, I cannot fully understand where he's coming from. Sure. And therefore, I'd like to know what his opinion of.
Sure, but do you think militancy is necessary? I guess that's what I was getting.
I think militancy is necessary for bringing things out of the closet. I mean, okay, historically, I think it's necessary. Okay. But I don't think it necessarily needs to be constant.
Okay. If you care to. To you,
sure. I have, frankly, I have mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, I think oftentimes the only way to affect any kind of change is to be as radical as possible. And for that reason, I feel solidarity and in support with people who are involved in gay rights marches and parades and petitions and demonstrations. I also find those very scary because they're very risky. In my life, in general, as is reflected in my life here at the Village, I tend to not be doing demonstrations I'm not into drag or, you know, things like that, though I think those are viable ways of effecting social change. I think, frankly, both are necessary. On the one hand, as gay people, I feel that we are very much like everybody else, and that needs to be said in very gentle and non-threatening and very day-to-day kinds of ways. I also feel that as gay and lesbian people, we have uniqueness, and that also needs to be expressed, however that takes place.
Can I ask you just to say that in any way that you feel about it, rather than ask? Okay. Someone else can respond too, but then we have your statement. Yes, please. Susan.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I look like I was thinking.
Yeah.
I don't knit. I find it impossible to love a homosexual person without loving that person totally. And that means that I really appreciate hearing that I will have to change my theology because I love you. Because for me, that also had to happen. And it happened because of my brother, who is gay. And it's been wonderful. But I cannot say that I love my brother, but I don't love his way of life, because I can't separate the two. And for me, that's been a struggle, but it hasn't changed how I feel about him, and I really actually love his companion too. So So it's sort of a sense of growing, because for me it's been a growth in my faith and in my understanding of God and love because of his sharing his life with me.
Thank you. Someone else?
Yes. In response to that,
sure.
I have a niece who is an alcoholic, and I love her dearly, but I don't love her very much. I don't love the alcohol.
I feel as a parent, I can love my children. I will always love my children, but I sometimes do not approve of the things they're doing. And I think that can apply to homosexuals.
Okay.
I love them, but not approve of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
Can I?
Sure.
I'd like to respond to both of those comments. First of all, again, though I'm sure the parallel was not intentional, homosexuality is not related to alcoholism. In most major medical understandings, homosexuality is not a disease, as alcoholism is a disease. To respond to what you said and to echo what Susan said, I don't believe that homosexuality is something you do. I believe it is any person's sexuality is a fundamental part of who they are. And to try and separate who a person is apart from the people they love, I think is enormously difficult. I can't do it. When that happens, when people try and do that, I'll speak specifically from my own experience. I feel that my parents are attempting to do what you have said, to love me and not love my sexuality. The result of that, in my experience, has been that there is a very large part of who I am and what my life is about that I cannot share with them. And that has a very profound effect on our relationship. If I can't share with them who I love, what I'm doing, and who I'm with, and why, I lose a real sense of commonality with them. And it's very difficult to maintain an open, loving, caring relationship with them if I cannot share that large part of who I am with them.
I have a feeling that for those of us who have a different sex orientation as opposed to a same-sex orientation, that whether we approve or disapprove, there's within the community of those who have a different sex orientation, there's some very deep, deep feelings, and I'm grateful for what Jack shared with us, because I think he shared some of those honest, deep feelings. I was at a gathering a while back in Phoenix, Arizona, where the issue of including different sex orientation in our human rights charter of the city was being debated, and the anger and the violence that was in that potential violence that was in that meeting room was just overwhelming to me. The feelings were so deep. People of the same, I mean, of a different sex orientation were so angry. And I think my feeling is that Christian people, whether we agree or disagree or approve or disapprove, that we minimally have to come to terms with those feelings and where they come from. I'm not sure quite where they come from, but I think maybe Sergio said something about it. I'm not sure we're real comfortable with our own sexuality, so I think it would be helpful for us to really try and understand where those really, Jack, you call them what? It was just instinctual with you, I think you said, which is probably. That's probably just arose in you, right? It isn't like you sat there and thought, "Now I'm going to get riled here." It just really came up, and I sensed that the other day in this room. And so that would be a real important task for us as Christian people, I think, is to deal with that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes.
I think it would be helpful if we understood the scientific basis of what causes homosexuality, too. Because, as I understand it, the formation in the womb starts possibly as one sex and then goes to the other for some reason of stress. I know I was watching a television program on it, and that this had actually happened with women who are carrying children in war situations. And a child will start as a female and revert to having the hormones of a male build up. And these are scientific things that are happening. And I don't see how any person can be responsible for that, as that's what they are. How can they accept themselves as anything different? So how can we accept them as anything different than what they are? If this is scientifically true, I think we have to accept that.
Okay. Thank you. Yes?
One of the biggest helps for me, I think, in my program was I had never before considered homosexuality in the context of a loving relationship. Two people, like the equivalent of a marriage, a union. And I've seen that, and it's beautiful. It's every bit as beautiful and precious as the love between heterosexuals. But I think part of the problem, as I see it, is that we deny that form of expression to heterosexuals. We tend to think of heterosexual love in terms of, say, of adultery or sex out of marriage, because we deny that the form of union that would give them legitimacy. One other thing I want to share. I have a very good friend, very dear friend of about 8 or 9 years, and recently when I visited him, he shared with me that he was a gay. And I felt very privileged that he did that. First of all, we were very good friends, but yet he was scared. He was scared silly. He was very, very nervous. But it was something he needed. It was something he needed to say. And I just felt, I feel even closer, very much closer to him now, that he would share something like that.
Thank you. Yes.
I got very mixed feelings myself about all of this, and I think I understand that there's some gays, you know, they're just like the rest of us, you know, there's some good ones and some bad ones, I'm sure, but I think, you know, still all my life, you know, that's wrong, you know, that's wrong, and maybe as someone said, maybe I need a teaching session, maybe I do need to look at the Bible a little bit more, if they can't help it, if they're born this way, I don't know, maybe I need another study session.
Someone else? Yes?
I think what's real important seeing is with all the background that we all have ground into us in all kinds of directions to keep looking at it and asking questions about it, but I can't help thinking that it's nobody else's business what I do in bed, why is it my business what a gay person or a heterosexual person or anybody does in their sexual life? Why is that any of my business to begin with? So I almost feel strange talking about whether it's right or wrong just because it's none of my business what somebody else does.
Yes.
I personally do not feel it's right. I never have. I feel that, I suppose if I really felt it was right, I'd probably join in and go along with the system or the lifestyle. I think that each one of us will have our day of judgment. And each one of us are going to answer. And when that day comes, we won't know who's answering what. But it's up to us to face the Lord in our willing. I'm against it. Okay.
Cool. Someone else? I have about 30 seconds on my watch, so I think we can then say that the evening is concluded. Again, we said at the outset it was a time for open discussion, for sharing points of view, differing points of view. It was not a goal to solve a solution or get a consensus, but a chance for people who are in the faith, in the Christ, I would believe, to share with one another on an issue that I think perhaps we often don't have the chance to do that. I've asked Scott to just close with a prayer as he was open. And Tasha, would you please?
Perhaps as a symbol of our community, if we could stand and take the hand of the person. Gosh, where'd they all come from?
Yeah, there are a lot of people.
Gracious God, we are thankful that you're teaching us about being a community where folk can come together and share without fear of intimidation, often with some nervousness and sweaty palms as they dare to risk their view. But, oh Lord, you're teaching us that that's important, for we can learn from each other. And in the midst of that learning, we sense your quiet urgings. Lord, we ask you to bless us this night as we rest and as we become refreshed for a new day. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.